50 pounds and it does. Hello. Great to be with you. It actually works great once you have it hung up. Not. It's amazing. Up to 450 pounds. We put this to the test, and I will tell you, this performed. Ideal for the cottage, the backyard, or anywhere you want to relax, including your front yard, a porch, and more. I have tested countless hammocks over the years, but rarely do you ever find one of this level of craftsmanship that handles up to 450 pounds, and you can bet we weight tested it. At under 30 bucks, you will not find a better summer bed ready for the outdoors, that perfect book, or just hanging out with your favorite people. You can find this deal, which is not a paid product, on our website. Go to facebook.com/dealboss for a link to this and other great deals.
Watch it on the 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow. Matt's got some Beat the Heat bargains
for
you. WTAM.com keyword save. Couple of clicks. You'll have the hammock. Hey, good Mike Snyder Sports. Mornings 15 and 45 past. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Well, it is not a good morning in Columbus, where Ohio State will begin football practice tomorrow. Urban Meyer will not be on the field. Offensive coordinator Ryan Day will serve as the acting head coach. At the Big Ten Media Day just over a week ago, Meyer denied any knowledge of domestic abuse by then-assistant Zach Smith. And right now, with the story you heard at the top of the hour, the developing story regarding Urban Meyer, who is on now a paid administrative leave, well, that story continues to be investigated. The reporter who broke the story, Brett McMurphy, believes that Meyer's denial last week could lead to his demise in Columbus.
If Urban Meyer at the press conference in Chicago simply says, we were told about this, the police investigated it, there were no charges, so that's why we kept Zach on the staff. Now that this new information about the protection order came back, and now we feel like we need to make a move, that's fine. But he went out on the edge of a cliff and said, I had no knowledge. I didn't know about this. Why would somebody make this up? Ultimately, that may be his demise by basically saying it didn't happen, when obviously there's tons of evidence that indicates otherwise.
Now, we have not heard from Meyer except for a statement last night in which he said he eagerly looks forward to the resolution of this matter. Ohio State begins football practice tomorrow. Browns were on the practice field yesterday with a familiar face at left tackle, but wait a minute, what's he doing there? Joel Bitonio has moved from the guard spot to that spot. More on that move in a moment. Now, Hugh Jackson, we've learned, has been coaching with a heavy heart following the recent deaths of his mother and his brother. Funeral plans by the Jackson family have been delayed till next week following the Browns preseason game against the Giants a week from tonight. Now, tonight it is the Hall of Fame game in Canton, where the Bears and the Ravens will go at it. Indians were 2-0 winners over the Twins as Carlos Carrasco struck out 10 as he pitched into the eighth inning to get the win. Brad Hand came on. The two combined for a five hitter on Carrasco. Here's what Tito said.
He was terrific. He started out and he made him respect his fastball, and his breaking balls were terrific today. I mean, just once they have to respect his velocity, then he spins it like that. It's pretty good.
He got his 13th win. Indians will get a day off. They'll begin a homestand tomorrow night with the Angels in town. And it's round one of the Bridgestone Invitational today. All the big names are here, but of course everybody will be zeroed in on Tiger as well. He has a 10:20 tee time from the 10th tee if you're headed down to Akron. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time now for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beers, sports. Well, the Browns making a move yesterday on the offensive line as Joel Bitonio, a guard, now playing left tackle. Hugh Jackson was asked about it.
I think you guys asked the coaches way too many questions. I'm just being honest. I mean, I make those decisions. Those are not none of our coaches' decisions. Those are mine. So I never said plan Z, you know, so here we are. You know, we're going, like I said, we're going to play the best five guys. We got to get a group together. I think the offense is starting to get a little identity to it, and I think that's important as we start to move forward.
And Hugh was referring to the fact that offensive line coach recently said that playing Bitonio at tackle was plan Z. Well, there he is right now, right at the moment. They're at plan Z with Bitonio at left tackle. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
Oh, 5 good minutes.
Going to the phones, and we have a special guest. Who is it?
So, Rush, I just wanted to congratulate you on 30 years. This is your favorite president, and I think you are fantastic. And I heard about it, and today is the big day, 30 years. I wanted to call personally and congratulate you.
I am floored. I thought there was nothing anybody could do to surprise me today. I've been preparing for anything. Mr. President...
You're a very special man, Rush, and you have people that love you. I'm one of them. But you're a very, very special guy. What you do for this country, people have no idea how important your voice is. So I just wanted to personally make this one, and I said, I'll even dial the number myself if I have to, but I just want to congratulate you. 30 years in that tough business is incredible. And well, you're stronger now than ever before.
Well, I thank you so much. It's such a thrill to hear from you. Anytime you want to appear here, you are more than welcome. I don't want to hound you by asking you because everybody's doing that, trying to get you, but, man, this is great. I'm so flattered. While I had you, can I say a little something back at you here?
Since yes, go ahead, Rush. Go ahead.
Are you aware? I have to think you are when you go to your rallies. Are you aware of what you mean to everybody who voted for you? And I think a bunch who didn't, who want to the next time around. You people have invested their hopes and their futures in this country being made great again and saved in you. And when you're alone, which you may not ever be, but when you're alone in the White House, do you think about that? Do you ponder what you've come to mean to people?
Well, I love these people. And, you know, you probably saw last night I was in Florida and we had 9,000 seats in the auditorium that was packed. And we had thousands outside and in these rooms all over the place. And I guess they had at least 18,000 people that couldn't get in last night, and which I hate. So we actually were starting to put up big screens. I must tell you, it's such an honor to me to see this. There's just love. I don't know if you were able to see it last night, but any of them, I mean, there's such tremendous love. I'm going to Ohio on Saturday, and tomorrow I'm going to Pennsylvania, and it's the same thing. It's like the enthusiasm. And part of it is that they've really been mistreated by so many years by the politicians. The country's been mistreated. The trade deals are so bad. The taxes were so high. The tax cuts are so good. They've been so appreciated by so many people. The cut in regulations maybe is just as important as the tax cuts because businesses are hiring like they've never hired before. And, you know, we have more interesting set. We have more people working in the United States today than at any time in our history. And it's been so many different things are happening. So there's a tremendous amount of love in the room, and I am aware of it. There's no question about it.
Mr. President, it was just a little over a year and a half ago where your predecessor said that what is happening now couldn't happen again, that those days were gone, that those jobs that were lost were not coming back. I mean, he would tell audiences this. And look at what you've done. And again, with the entirety, seemingly the entirety of Washington's political class opposed, in a year and a half, you have reversed the direction the country was going at. 4.1% economic growth. When you promised that, they accused you of misleading people because it couldn't happen.
Well, that's right, Rush. You have a lot of bad people in Washington. You knew that a long time ago. Frankly, before I knew it, I had no idea how evil some of them are, but you have a lot of great people too. And outside of Washington, you have the greatest people in the world. And you're right. It's, you know, I've been saying 4%, but it should be much higher than that. You know, if I do good trade deals, which I will, you see what's going on with China. You look at what's going on. I will tell you, NAFTA, they want to make a deal very badly. And, you know, we're putting them back in shape. They're horrible deals, the worst deals ever made by any country. You do that, you start lifting your GDP numbers way up also. Nobody ever even talks about that. We're doing 4.1 with bad trade deals. We have horrible trade deals. And our farmers, we're going to open up markets for them, you know. But they're great patriots. I watch them all the time where they're saying, we trust our president. And, you know, they may take a short-term hit. But you look at farming, it's been going down for 15 years. Soybeans, 5 years before the election, was cut in half. The price was cut in half. I wasn't there. So it's going to, a lot of things are happening that are very exciting. And, you know, you look at the job numbers, you look at African American, best ever, Hispanic, Asian, women, best ever. And it's been a lot of fun for me, but I see the happiness in the faces. Like last night in Florida with that you know, really massive crowd, you see the happiness and the love, and nobody left. It's like you. Nobody turns off your show. It's like you can't. Nobody leaves. I'll speak for an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes. There wasn't a person that left that room. It was just, it was an absolute love fest, and it's going on all over the country, and a lot of it's the same message. Most of it, I think probably all of it, is the same message that you give out so well every day, better than anybody.
President Trump calling Rush yesterday on his 30th anniversary. Scooter's going to try and put up some video of Rush in studios. He's talking to the president. Let's go eat something, or maybe have something to drink. Our buddy Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins us this morning. His job is to keep us up to date on places to check out and things to check out. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Bill.
All right, a couple stories this week, and you can follow Mark on Twitter, mbona30. See him, of course, in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Let's go to a little bistro you found for us in Rocky River. Tell me about it.
Yeah, this is a big deal. You know, people talk about how many restaurants fail within their first year, and the number is always, it's very high. It's a majority. It's around 75%.
It's risky.
Now we've got one that's just marked 10 years. It's in the process of marking 10 years.
Wow.
Tartine Bistro, French casual, French-American casual cuisine in Rocky River. Owners Dean Valore and his wife Anna Ferguson Valore, running a really, really nice place. And I had a really nice interview with him last week, and he really credits, among other things, he and his wife have a big passion for food and wine and travel, and it really filters into the restaurant. But he really credits the brother team, Michael and BJ Grieve. Michael is the chef. BJ is the GM. They're both very well trained. They've been around, both from Willoughby. And, you know, it's neat to see a restaurant like this consistently do well, because, as you know, I mean, restaurants come and go, fads come and go,
sure,
trends come and go, all of this. But Tartine has done a great job. They're going to be having, to kind of cap it off, they're going to be having a celebration on August 11th with a bunch of specials and giveaways. Mm-hmm. They're going to even bring back some first-year recipes, and it's a lot of fun. But, you know, this is a big milestone for any restaurant, especially one in our area that has such a niche in the culinary scene.
You know what? I am sure I've been by it many times. I've never eaten there. It's in that Old River Shopping on Detroit Road.
Right.
Is
it's a busy
at.
Area, tucked right in there, really nice, well-kept area. So they've got a nice, steady clientele that keeps coming back. They've added brunch. They've done some other things. And, I had a fun time talking to Dean for my story.
Well, 10 years, you're doing something right. So congratulations, 13 Bistros in Rocky River. Okay, let's move over to another story. Talk to me about Collision Bend and canning.
I love this story because there's a mobile canning outfit, Ironheart Canning. They have a big division out here run by a local guy, BJ Solomon, out in Amherst.
Yeah.
They bring in this mobile canning unit to breweries that don't have their own dedicated canning line. And I do this story probably about once a year, and I have to say it never gets old. It's just, we just geek out on seeing these beers and this assembly line of beers being filled, the tops being capped, the crating, everything done by, you know, about half a dozen or eight guys working the line, working together. I really enjoy it. So this is a big deal because this Collision Bend's only been open about a year. Initially, they really just wanted to kind of make beer for several restaurants in the area, the Zach Brule restaurants, a few other places.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're canning. Lake Erie Sunset, a really delicious summer sipper, a Kolsch, great style this time of year. You know, they're out in the flats East Bank, so you can have one and sit on the patio and watch the ships and other folks roll by. But they've rolled this out. They canned it on last week. It's already up for sale, and it's going to be available in Hyman's as well. So it's a neat thing that they've started this. They're making great beer. Luke Purcell is the brewer there, straight out of a long stint at Great Lakes Brewing Company. So it's really cool to see. You know, anytime a brewery calls me and says, "Hey, Mark, we're going to be canning this week. You want to come down?" I'm down there in the shot. I love it.
Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. All right, one more here. It is August. Yes, I know the footballs are flying, and we want to talk about chili. Tell me about the chili cook-off at Rivals.
Rival Sports Grill in Middleburg Heights is, this is amazing. You know, they've been around about 11 years. Their 10th annual Rivals Chili Cook-Off is set for Saturday, September 15th. Now they're over there on Smith Road. Mm-hmm. This is a beneficiary that raises money for Make-A-Wish. They give all the proceeds to this, plus a little bit of their revenue of the day as well. They raised over $12,000 last year. They're probably aiming for about $15,000 if they get decent weather. The neat thing is they bring in a lot of first responder units, firefighters, other folks to come in, make chili. The way they make their money is you pay, I think it's a $15 fee, you pay to basically for voting rights. Mm-hmm. And they have a judges panel. They'll have the People's Choice Awards. This year they've expanded it out. So many, this place has, Rivals has about 30 different beers on tap. This year they're bringing in a bunch of breweries who are each offering up a representative to make chili as well in a separate category. So the benefit is growing. It's doing well. It's doing well for a very good cause. I mean, Make-A-Wish, everybody knows what Make-A-Wish is about. They rate very well on Charity Navigator.
Sure.
And they've done a great job for a long time. So Rival is hooked up with them again, and it's a lot of fun. And you're right. You were absolutely right to say, you know, it's summer now, but you think of chili in the fall, but before you know it, this is going to be here, and these are going to be fun events.
You better believe it. All right, mid-September, that'll be around. So, again, Collision Bend Canning, we talked about, and you want to go to Tartine's Bistro celebrating their 10 years over in Rocky River. Mark Bona, read more, Cleveland Plain Theater, cleveland.com. Some other great brunch suggestions, too, for your weekend. Follow Mark on Twitter, mbona30, always posting some great stuff. Mark, thanks, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
House to the White House, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
$10 million on the line. Best players in the world are here in the game of golf. The WGC Bridgestone Invitational tees up this morning at beautiful Firestone. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside our friend and the guy that runs the tournament, Don Pageant, on the hotline. Don, good morning. Are you ready?
Morning, Bill. The tournament's finally here. Ball's going to be in the air here at 9:20, and we're excited.
Don, before we forget, I want to do a shout-out because a lot of those volunteers are in their cars now heading to Firestone. It takes a ton of people to make this thing happen and help raise a lot of money for charity, right?
Absolutely, Bill. We have over 1,200 volunteers through Northern Ohio Golf Charities. They do a great job to help us operate this event, and it helps us give back over $1 million to charity each year. UH Rainbow Babies and Children's and Akron Children's Hospital are our two signature charities, and it's going to be a great week.
You know, Don, I thought Tiger yesterday really just giving the ultimate testimony really to your tournament, to the Bridgestone tournament with the people involved. He talked about just the feel. It's just a great place for even the golfers just to come to play year after year.
You know, Firestone really is a magical place. We honored Jim Nance last night with our Ambassador Golf Award, and Jim said the two places that he thinks about in the world of golf that are most special to him are Firestone and Augusta National. So that's pretty high company. It's a treasure that we have here in Northeast Ohio, and all the players love it.
Great course, and of course the great people involved in it on every level. Don, this weekend, I know a lot of folks coming down. You've got the terrific field, all of the top 50 golfers on hand and more. A little tip or two from you in terms of good spots maybe to kind of find a spot and watch some golf this weekend, starting today.
Well, if you're a golf fan, the 12th hole is a great spot. You can see the par 3, the 8th tee, and the 7th green all for one spot. But we've got tremendous fan experience. You can follow around your favorite player for a few holes. You can sit on the rope line, have a front row seat, watch all the groups come through. We've got great bleacher access on multiple holes. And then for people that want some extra experience outside of golf, we've got some great food with Michael Simon's B-Spot, Barrio Taco, Swenson's Food Truck. 18 and under is free. We've got a kid's landing, so come out and take advantage of that. You can buy tickets at BridgestoneInvitational.com, or you can buy them at the gate.
Firestone Village, the fan journey, so many different parts of Firestone to enjoy. Don Pageant with us for a couple more minutes. I tell you what, I mean, you've got the top players in the world here, the top 50, but the way they're grouped today, you're going to use 1 and 10. I know Jordan Spieth goes off at 10 a.m., but I'm looking Justin Thomas and Phil are together. Right behind them are Dustin Johnson. And then at 10 o'clock, Rory tees off, and right behind him is Tiger and Jason Day. I mean, it is amazing, the grouping as well, you know?
The field is loaded, and they're all right here in our backyard to come out and see. And I know we've talked about it many times on your show, but to really appreciate how good these guys are, you need to come see it in person, from the 330-yard drives to the unbelievable up and downs out of the bunker. And, you know, after the round, you can maybe get a photo or an autograph, too. So it's a lot of fun. Encourage everybody to come out and join us this week.
Don, finally, you made some news yesterday as well. As we look ahead, I talked to the head of Bridgestone Golf yesterday, and I know yesterday as well, a big announcement. Westfield Insurance going to partner with Bridgestone to sponsor the Senior Players Championship that'll be here next July, right?
Yeah, our Bridgestone Senior Players Championship is July 9 through 14, and Westfield has stepped up as a founding partner. So can't thank Westfield enough. They believe in the future of golf at Firestone Country Club. We look forward to partnering with them and Bridgestone to have a lot of fun with the PGA Tour champions next year.
Well, congratulations to you on that partnership and more for the future at Firestone. Some great golf for years to come with some of the best. Okay, so again, the WGC Bridgestone Invitational this morning, round one at Firestone. Don Pageant, the executive director. Don, thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
My sense is he wants you to know that he knows everything. Whether it's in a post-game interview or talking about his team, he's very controlling. Heard him say he keeps his office door open, not so much as an open-door policy for people to come in, but where he can look out and see where everybody's at all the time on the campus. And the high-profile, successful coaches, Nick Saban, a lot of them are that way. I mean,
sure.
They want you to know that they know everything about the program. But then when something happens sometimes, they didn't know.
Well, yes.
The Patino thing at Louisville is a great example. I mean, he's in that. Would you agree?
Yeah, there
have been. Saban, when you're at that level, they want you to think that they know everything.
Yeah, I think we get that perception that they do.
And that's Urban seems to me like.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to interviews they're
in charge,
and things I've seen.
Right.
Until something happens that, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have his assistant coach, which is also happens to be, for what it's worth, and it's been many times, the assistant coach's grandfather happens to be the late Earl Bruce.
Correct.
Who Urban also coached under.
Mm-hmm.
So Ohio State has placed Urban Meyer on paid administrative leave as the university launches the investigation of a domestic violence allegation against the former assistant. Courtney Smith, the ex-wife of the recently fired receivers coach Zach Smith, provided text messages to Brett Murphy, national sports reporter, in which she details a 2015 alleged assault by her former husband, where she says she talked to a Shelley, who is Urban Meyer's wife. All right, a couple pieces of audio. Here's Courtney.
Did she ever come back to you and tell you that she did tell Urban?
She did not. She did not. She would reach out to me, ask me how I'm doing, tell me she was worried, you know, if I needed anything, she was there.
Urban Meyer covered this a little bit it was a Big Ten press day last week.
Last week.
It sounds like he wants me to think that he and his wife have been close to this couple for years. This guy was one of his grad assistants at Florida. They were aware of some issues.
In 2009.
He and his wife tried to help him through it, that sort of thing.
Right.
Like another couple trying to help another couple, right?
I think that's the way he put it for 2009.
The way he seemed to put it.
Yes.
Okay, all right, 2009.
2009, Zach was an intern, a very young couple, as I do any time that I imagine most coaches or people in leadership positions. You receive a phone call, first thing you do is tell your boss, let the experts do their jobs. We're certainly not going to investigate. It came back to me that what was reported wasn't actually what happened, and so Shelley and I actually both got involved because of our relationship with that family, and advised for counseling and wanted to help as we move forward.
Which is a kind thing to do. You would think any other human being, if you've got a relationship with another couple, you know, that you would do that, right?
Right,
Until at some point it crosses the line.
Or, you know.
And then you're like, what are you going to do?
And then it happens again.
Okay, now the again would be 2015?
2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015, and there was nothing. Unless, once again, there's nothing, you know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that.
Now, that was last week.
That's what he said last week.
All right, so where's the problem?
Well, the problem is that now there are texts that his wife received going back to that time that she knew a lot about what was going on. So I think basically right now where the question is now for him to say that he knew nothing about 2015 is where with the information that is there, it's really okay. You could say that he didn't, but it's really hard to fathom based on the even the history as you put it out with Urban and his wife's concern for them in 2009. And that seems to be, I think, where this is. Now, even the reporter, Brett McMurphy, I had a comment that I played from him that if Urban would have said last week something to the effect that, yeah, we knew about this and, you know, we didn't have enough details.
Do you have that? You want
yeah,
to
I've got
again?
Actually, I've got it right here.
Go
here's
ahead.
Here's
right.
what he
here's
said.
Here's the reporter.
If Urban Meyer at the press conference in Chicago simply says, we were told about this, the police investigated it, there were no charges, so that's why we kept Zach on the staff. Now that this new information about the protection order came back, and now we feel like we need to make a move. That's fine. But he went out on the edge of a cliff and said, I had no knowledge, I didn't know about this, why would somebody make this up? Ultimately, that may be his demise by basically saying it didn't happen, when obviously there's tons of evidence that indicates otherwise.
And I think that's when you hear Urban's comment last week basically saying, gosh, you came up with this story.
Right. Where'd this come from?
Where did this come from?
Ohio State moved rather quickly yesterday afternoon as this thing was breaking.
For him to go on the administrative leave.
Paid administrative leave and looking into it. So another, if I got you right, if I'm hearing you right then, Urban wants me to believe that, and again, we don't know what we don't know and we're speculating and all, but he wants us to think that if indeed his wife knew about it, Shelley, she never told him. So then he got home. He had to ask her last night, hey, why didn't you tell me?
Well, that's what basically he's saying. And it even goes on in this report that there were other assistants. Their wives knew about this, that it wasn't just, you know, this was common. So, I you know, until we really hear from her, I want to hear, you know, his side of the story, which he has not,
right.
which we have not heard regarding this. But this is what we know to this point. I think the point in question seems to be with that information in that report yesterday, when he spoke last week, What did he know then when he said that about 2015?
Bottom line, it's a sad situation.
Yes,
there are
is.
9 reports from the Powell police that involve Zach Smith, that's the assistant coach, and or his wife Courtney, dating from January 1st of 2012 to 2018, according to Cleveland.com. Calls to the house included domestic disputes between the Smiths, who did divorce in 2016. He's already scheduled to be in court tomorrow on a restraining order that she wants. And whether or not Urban handled it right is the big question on the campus at The Ohio State University.
And I think, as you said at the top, Bill, those head coaches, 9 reports. It's just, and Urban never gets wind of this from somebody. That's what's being talked about right now, and that's why he's on leave.
Song has to be in the playlist, I would think. We got Rock and Blast this weekend at Progressive Field. Curtis Danberg of the Indians front office is in. Morning, pal.
Morning. Ultimate playlist. That's the theme.
The ultimate playlist. But this thing's about rocker. I mean, this screams fireworks.
This is ultimate.
It might be in there. It might be. But you're not going to tell me, right? I didn't think so. All right.
So gotta come and see it.
Okay. Come see and hear, right?
If you hear it, you'll know.
Yeah.
Curtis Danberg, the Tribune. We got an off day today. First of all, on the field, I love the attitude. We talked about this with Hammy some yesterday. The buzz, trade deadline, names all around. Francona got the team together, said, that's it, let's go win, right?
That's what it is. You know, you flip the calendar to August, and we 2 months more left of regular season baseball, and then, you know, our eyes are set on October, and that's the goal.
It seems like just yesterday you were here talking about, hey, school's going to be out soon, come down to Progressive Field. Now it's all of a sudden August.
Blink of an eye.
Unbelievable. Let's talk about the weekend. Angels are in, and Rockin' Blast is you've received awards for it. It is a tremendous, tremendous fun night, right?
Yeah, it's one of the marquee promotions and marquee events of the entire season. Rockin' Blast tonight tomorrow night and Saturday night with the Angels in town. If you've never experienced Rockin' Blast, it's an unbelievable production, from the music to the fireworks to the video. Our production team does an amazing job of synchronizing unique videos with the whole production. And it's something to see. 20, 25 minutes. It's almost like a grand finale throughout. We've got rooftop pyro. So get your tickets. We have a limited amount left, but still tickets remaining for the entire weekend. We'll also have Sugar Dollar Dog Night tomorrow. We've got the pregame in the district, the $2 beers, 12-ounce cans, Friday and Saturday from 5 to 7. So come and be a part of it. Sunday, KeyBank Kids Fun Day, we're going to be giving away a Topps Indians card set. So make sure to check that out. And we're rolling out a new program beginning this Sunday through the remainder of the year,
okay.
Value Sunday. So for those families that are thinking value conscious and mm-hmm. cost conscious, come to the ballpark. You can get $2 sodas, $2 freeze pops, $2 nachos and cheese. So a great opportunity of getting some snacks at an economical price.
That's fantastic.
Very nice. And we talk about all these other things going on, the ball club playing well, and a chance. We'll know more probably tomorrow, Curtis, as Andrew Miller's coming along. I know Tom Hamilton was saying yesterday there is a chance that he could be activated this weekend.
Yeah, we've seen Brad Hand and Adam Simber make a great contribution selling down the bullpen. Then you add Andrew Miller back, a healthy one. He just did back-to-back days and came out of them feeling very good. So we need him for that stretch run.
And we need to also get a look at the new center fielder, Leonis Martin. Sounded very excited to be with the Indians as he joined them in Minnesota.
Yeah, hearing Chris and Tito talking about it, very complimentary to our group. And we needed a defensive center fielder, and he brings that. He brings some speed. He brings a little pop. He's been in the postseason before. So, he might not be the big name and all the rumors of Bryce Harper, but you know what? He fits our team, and that, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Talking Tribe with Curtis Danberg of the Indians. Angels in here tomorrow night, 7:10 first pitch. You and many of the front office people, an amazing couple of weeks in Washington for the All-Star game, and of course, Cooperstown. I want to go to the All-Star game first. We will host that next year. That's big doings in this town, right?
Huge doings, and we expect an economic impact of $65 million. It'll be July 5th through the 9th. It's not just the game anymore. There's all these ancillary events, and as the time comes closer, we'll certainly be announcing that with Major League Baseball. Expect a little tease here early next week. We're going to be starting the train with an announcement probably coming up to start people thinking about the All-Star game.
So, in other words, he didn't want me to ask. He wants to tell me there'll be something next week. But it's going to be huge. After seeing and talking to a few people who are in D.C., you're right. There's the game. I mean, you come for the event and stay for the game almost, right?
Right. And, think about this. MLB takes a lot of the tickets. It's going to be tough to get a ticket. So how do we make everybody in this region experience the All-Star game and the festivities? And that's what this is about now. It's having concerts and having different community events to get mm-hmm. people fired up about baseball, and especially youth, really focusing on the youth,
okay.
getting people to love the game, the Play Ball Initiative. So it's going to be spectacular. Everybody's looking forward to coming to Cleveland because everything's walkable. Not to say D.C. was amazing,
right.
but it was spread out. We're going to have everything downtown. Mm. It's going to be the place to be.
Yeah, we know how to do stuff big, so that'll be great next summer. All right, give me, you got a top memory from Cooperstown?
I tell you what, it's hard to pick one. Jimmy Speech was there. Paul Dolan's toast, if you haven't heard about his toast
no.
for Jimmy's Saturday night's party, was the talk of the weekend. Paul Konerko put a tweet out about it. He was there to support Jimmy. That was unbelievable. But really, to be in a place where you had Hall of Famers circling you and around, it was amazing. It was spectacular. If you've never been to Cooperstown, especially if you've never been to an induction weekend, most ever living Hall of Famers ever in Cooperstown for induction weekend was this past weekend, and second largest crowd ever. So
I can only imagine there are, I don't know of many people that have had the professional success that I get to talk to that are at the level of Paul Dolan or Jim Thome, okay? And I can't imagine two guys more humble.
You can't.
I can't imagine two guys that are more, it's one thing to talk about the baseball business or what he did on the field when it comes to, they'd rather talk about their kids and family, which yeah. is the important stuff in life anyway. So I can only imagine what Paul maybe shared with
the coach. And he really focused on humility. It wasn't about what Jimmy did on the field. It's who he is as a person off the field. And
that's why that statue's out there, man.
It is.
Not just the hits.
No. Nope.
It's the total.
And he's got the stats to back it up. Yeah. But it is him as the person. And anybody you talk to all weekend, that's the first thing they talked about when they talked about Jim Thome. It was him as a person, his family. Hanging out with a guy like Johnny McDonald, who played 16 years in the majors, was like starstruck. And I was like, I should be the one starstruck. He played with these guys. He's like, no, this is unbelievable.
So he caught
And Jim's going to be coming back, right, next month? Or this
18,
month?
August 18th, we're going to celebrate the Hall of Fame induction.
Johnny Mack caught my pitch, too, at Progressive
he
Field
still talks about
years
that.
Ago
yeah.
when I threw out the first pitch. Did he another mention guy. That while he was in Cooperstown?
Another,
did
he did talk, rank, we talked about that.
Did it rank in his top five events in baseball,
I think
Johnny Mack?
Top
catching
three.
Okay, right. Some people.
Yeah.
All right. Rock and blast. Get your tickets.
Thanks, Curtis.
And
like
also Bauer out his jersey Wednesday.
Ooh. I love it. Indians.com. Go try. Part of this weekend. Go try. Thanks, pal. My brother Joe headed to
Very nice.
Firestone today. So
this is a week to get out there, boy. Yeah. It's just
have a good time.
This field is just incredible.
Make a memory. We've got Indians update now. Jim Rosenhaus joins us this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Rosie in for Falls Motor City. Nothing like an off day, and you get a call from Scooter, producer extraordinaire.
You know what? Sometimes you need a little push to get your off day going, and there's no better way to do that than have Scooter give you a call.
You mean Carol's list wasn't enough?
No. Well, see, that helps me get started on the list.
That's true.
At a reasonable hour.
That's true. Get more done early. All right. Rest day today. But before you start to rest, let's talk about a 2-0 win yesterday. Boy, listening to the game, I mean, Carrasco obviously pitched well. Their guy did, too. That's a good matchup yesterday.
It really was. And, you know, Carrasco's rolling along perfect through three and then just dealing most of the day. And sometimes pitchers are doing that when they have a large lead, but I think it's always fun to watch when there's no margin for error.
Right.
The Indians scrapped for a run with Davis coming home on a stolen base attempt by Ramirez, and that was it for the longest time. And so Carrasco had to be good, and he was better than good. He was great yesterday. And, you know, he missed those 3 weeks after being hit in the elbow with the line drive, and it was bad at the time, and you never like to lose a pitcher, but that may help him in the end in terms of just he had a 3-week break, and it'll limit his innings a little bit, which is okay, and he has been really, really good since coming back. So, you know, add another one to a starting rotation that is just outstanding, and you knew that going in with Carrasco, and he's been really, really good here of late.
And Jim, another thing you and Tom talked about, I think yesterday, a bit about, as you mentioned, the way they scored the first run, and now you add a player like Martin. The Indians have an ability to create some runs, and well, maybe you don't think about it now, but when you get into that postseason, that could be a big factor.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, Mike, because you see better pitching. So it's harder to hit home runs. Now, home runs change the games in postseason, but they're harder to come by, and you're going to have days where you're going to need to win a low-scoring game where the long ball doesn't come into play because, again, the starters are better on most teams, and nowadays the bullpens are tremendous, so you really have to scratch and scramble for runs, and we saw them do that with the Davis-Ramirez double steal attempt that did result in a run. And you know, I'm not saying that would happen in the postseason, but it's good to know that speed is a big part of it. I mean, yesterday, the top three hitters in the lineup all had 16 or more stolen bases, which in today's game is unusual.
And you mentioned the bullpen. We know Andrew Miller had a couple of good outings back-to-back in Columbus. What's the latest you're hearing about Andrew, Jim?
Just that there was going to be a good meeting with Andrew Tito and pitching coach Carl Willis and probably some others too, but the possibility is he's back this weekend, or if he feels that he needs to maybe go more than one inning. They got the back-to-back days out of the way, but if he feels that maybe he needs to go out, throw an inning, sit down and come back and face some more hitters the next inning before he comes back, they would do that too. So that's I think they were trying to work through that last night and today in preparation for tomorrow.
Jensen Lewis this time tomorrow morning, as well as Andre Knott, will take us through the weekend preview of the Tribe and the Angels. Tom Hamilton, Jim Rosenhaus with a call tomorrow night, 7:10 first pitch. Be there, Indians.com. Get your tickets. All right, go get that list done that Carol needs done, okay?
Yeah, I'm 3 minutes behind now. Thanks.
Thanks, pal. Hey, Jim? Jim?
Yeah.
This pays better than that, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, you're not kidding.
All right, thanks, pal.